IPSE leads the way.
IPSE.
One system, personnel, and pay.
IPSE.
21st century.
IPSE.
Total force visibility. Online.
Online.
Mobile.
Hi, I'm Colonel Greg Johnson, and welcome to another episode of the IPSE podcast, where we talk about important topics, primarily about IPSE and the program and its status and where we're going, but also about Army HR modernization. And today's episode, I think, is going to be a good one as we talk a little bit about IPSE and how it impacts and integrates at the Human Resources Command. We all know that HR systems and the Human Resources Command, or HRC, everything that they do impacts soldiers, every aspect of a soldier's life, their pay, evaluations, you know, schooling, assignments, promotions, even personal changes, spouses, weddings, children, mobilizations, the list goes on and on and on. Our system, IPSE, is going to ultimately impact 1.1 million soldiers as we go live in December of 21. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how the system integrates at the Human Resources Command. And I'm definitely honored to be talking with Brigadier General Hope Rampe today, who is our TAG, the Army's Adjutant General. And, you know, ma'am, I have a whole bio here that I can read, but that's probably not the best, going back and forth on your bio. You've been all over the place. You've had all kinds of good jobs. You've been at Fort Hood. You've been in the 1st Cav. You've been a battalion commander. You've done the G1 stuff all the way to the top levels, and now you're the TAG. Maybe you just talk a little bit about yourself, ma'am, and tell us what the heck the TAG is and how important it is for our Army, ma'am.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Greg, IPSE team, thanks for the opportunity. For those that don't know, I've probably been giving Greg Johnson a hard time for at least the last dozen years. Had the opportunity to serve with him early on in our career. So honored to be here. So about me, I think when someone asks, what am I? It's not usually my job, but in essence, at the core, I'm a soldier. I'm a wife and I'm a mom, and that all influences how I think about our support to soldiers and what's important to me as, TAG 62. And so when you have all those things and you're juggling it, and it sounds pretty hectic sometimes, but I will tell you, the Army, probably no other organization or institution that could give me the opportunity to probably excel at all three of them, based on what our priorities are. So you talked a little about different jobs I've had. I've been in the Army it'll be 25 years this spring. I've had the AG traditional jobs, but I've also, being a battalion commander in a brigade combat team, I think it's good when we get out of our technical jobs sometimes, because it gave me more of appreciation of what does it really mean to support our soldiers, whether it is that pay transaction, a casualty notification, or some technical tactical skills that they need on the battlefield. And then how does that opportunity to serve as a battalion commander influence the importance of getting our support to soldiers right? And so you said, okay, TAG, what do you do? Cool thing is, I'm better at the TAG than I am, getting a headset together for the podcast, I promise you. I wear three hats. I'm the Adjutant General, and I'm honored to be the 62nd Adjutant General. I also have the unique responsibility of being the Commanding General for the Physical Disability Agency. And so when you look at the IDES process and impacts to readiness, really what I can affect is the PEB process. And for those familiar with IDES, we're now all co-located at Joint Base San Antonio. So that's the second hat. The third hat is I had the opportunity for the Army to be the executive agent to DOD for a military postal service agency. So really, I'm a bridging strategy between our military postal system and the USPS. With all those fun hats, I have the opportunity to serve and lead over 1,000 military DA civilians and contractors, both here, San Antonio, and at various postal locations. So that's a little bit about me and a little bit about what I do.
Ma'am, I mean, for me, that's just, you got a lot on your plate. They're in the tag. And I know we're connected to you for a lot of different things. You tend to be our entry point from an IPSA program perspective into HRC, from a data perspective, primarily a systems perspective, all the really technical hard stuff. And then you help us to really talk through modernization, even in OP and EP. So the connection for us is tight, and it does help that, we've known each other for a few years, right?
Yeah.
For the audience, I mean, if you can imagine a G1 where, I was one major and Major Hope Rampey was the other major. I mean, it was certainly a good assignment. Maybe not for other people that had to deal with both of us, but it was certainly a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely. Division G1 was the lucky one because you and I, were the tag team. But I think, we joke around about people, whether they enjoyed it or not. And I think you and I can be tough, but dedicated to our core. And you joke about it, but I know that you and I both have relationships with those people that we served with still back then. You talked about data and kind of the bridging strategy between the two of us. And I'm glad you brought that up because within the Adjutant General, and people go, what is that? And a lot of times people are familiar with evaluations, your promotion boards, and your records keeping, your IPERMs. But they don't know. I mean, when you look at regulation, who's responsible for data? And that's under the Adjutant General. So the important part is it's supposed to be the way you and I will work together when you hand over the reins to IPSA and release 4 goes live. Who do you think takes that ruck? And so that transition over to the tag is another big part of the Adjutant General. But a lot of people don't know that who's responsible for data. HRC already is, but that data governance is usually done behind the scenes. And, I think some of your big fight to get, data correctness and the fact that we're finally going to be able to audit the information and hold people and hold us accountable. So I'm responsible, but I don't really have an ability to account for it or audit any of that data.
Yeah, ma'am, it's a really good point. And, in previous episodes of the podcast, we've talked data correctness and even just, this idea of chasing the authoritative data in the Army, right? Our current scenario is lots of data, lots of systems, very difficult to single out the authoritative data and the modernization path that we're on, tied in with you and several others is, hey, you get people into IPSA and then that's kind of the central point of most of your HR data. And then there's still connections to some other things, like you mentioned IPERMs. That's not going away. We have to connect to IPERMs. So IPSA sends data and things to IPERMs, populates the record, but we've asked the field to, hey, focus on eMILPO, get the data correct. So then when it transitions to IPS, then, we're in a good spot as we get going. You kind of laid out the future, right? IPSA kind of transition into HRC and release for payroll, right? That happens at HRC. I got to ask you, ma'am, I mean, what is really worrying you at night? I mean, you got all this stuff, postal, PEB, promotions, then this data stuff, you got IPSA coming. I mean, I know you got some broad shoulders, but I mean, you got to be worried about something.
Yeah. And you would think, I think most people think it's the casualty piece because Casualty and Mortuary Affairs Division is under TAG as well. And I don't want to say that doesn't worry me, but I think what keeps me up, and you talked about modernization and you think the pace of it, I mean, it's 21 and what's going to happen in just the next 3 to 5 years. I worry as a core, And as an Army, are we good enough and are we fast enough? And when it comes to IPSAE and modernizing, what does that future HR support look like? I worry about that because I look around at, you know, our brothers and sisters in arms. And, you know, when's the last time you asked an operator or you saw the Army G3 go, you know what, I'm not going to worry about updating our tanks. I'm good with that old artillery system. I'm okay with an old M4. I don't need to add a scope to it. They don't. They are always in the hunt to be modernized and to be able to win and fight our nation's wars where needed. And if our war, part of our fight as personnelists, is to maintain your data and be able to provide information to Army senior leaders, commanders, why are we not worried about our weapon system? And so I see, you know, that modernization that keeps me up late at night. Are we willing to work hard enough and are we good enough to update our weapon system and that be an IPSAE? Because to me, this is our X of L. You only get one opportunity to go through the test gate. So I would ask you, if you're, you know, a Brigade S1 out there, how much time do you put in order to succeed at NTC or JRTC, right? When you go through that test bed with your brigade commander, I would say everyone puts on their best effort because it's a test. And I think you and I are in a test right now to get IPSAE right. And so I apologize, but I'm passionate about it. But really, what keeps me up at night, are we good enough and are we fast enough and are we committed enough to modernizing our weapon system at the right time?
Yeah, you know, I think there's maybe two ways to go about your comment there, ma'am. And I don't know, for me, it really resonates. Obviously, we're in the middle of this, right? I've been in this job for multiple years, right? You know, with a good amount of the folks that are on the IPSAE team. You know, one would be, okay, so in the field, we've kind of laid out a couple of things. So, you know, S1's a lot of live training that's out there. There's some military pay entitlements training that really you've spearheaded, man. And then there's this data correctness thing where, hey, focus on EMILPO, focus on enhanced personnel readiness reviews, and then work the errors that we're feeding the field. You know, and I think if folks focus on those kind of three things, you know, in the middle of 21, you'll get some hardcore IPSAE training. This is how the transactions work. And then shoot, we're in December then, you know, we're going live. You know, maybe you can talk a little bit about that MILPAE conditions check, and then we can circle back to modernization. I know me and you have talked just a lot about, you know, where does the Corps need to go and certain skill sets and things like that.
Yeah, so MILPAE, it's going to be exciting. So a couple things. Number one, I guess, start from the ground up. You know, what can the field do now? They can take advantage of those distance learning classes and sign up for MILPAE. I know you also have webinars, great ones coming out there. I know the most recent one actually had one today, and there's some future webinars between now and the spring. So right now, MILPAE is distance learning. And they can sign up at any time. In the future, here at HRC, now next level is really, it looks like, you know, new equipment training and what we're going to be doing here in the spring in HRC. Parallel to that, the schoolhouse, so working with SSI, students now going to any PME there at Fort Jackson are also completing the distance learning MILPAE. Now, you might say, okay, but what changes between now and the summer? And really, that's our net training, but it gets into some of the background work, and I'll talk about the authoritative data sources and business mapping in a minute. But what the schoolhouse has promised is we'll continue to use the current distance learning that our team up at DFAS and Indy have put together. And then in the summer, as we update our net training, working with your team, FMDG1, and what that training looks like here at HRC starting this summer in anticipation of release 3, we'll update that training at SSI as well. I'll pause there, make sure I'm answering your questions.
Well, yes, ma'am. I mean, it's all back and forth. I mean, you can shoot me questions too, and I'll stand at attention and answer them. You know, ma'am, I think a lot of the field, you know, goes, hey, you know, I don't know. They scratch their head on the mill pay thing. You know, my perspective has always been, hey, we've always been involved in mill pay. You know, if you're S1 and you're having to take over pay actions to the finance office, hey, you're involved in mill pay. And I know part of that training that you helped put together is all about just explaining, hey, this is what it means. You know, why certain pay is happening based on certain actions, and just trying to give a, you know, a knowledge base to the AG Corps. You know, so we have this foundation moving forward, because you know, IPSA is going to automate a lot of it, but if you don't understand how that connects, then, you know, I don't know, you're missing the so what of, you know, how do you take care of soldiers' pay, you know, from
right.
my perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what's one thing you have to get right, you know? I mean, you got to pay them. We stop paying soldiers, we get that wrong, that impacts families, impacts morale. But you know, it's funny because we talk about modernizing, weapon systems. We talk about modernizing our HR systems as we're transforming from industrial age army to informational age. I've never heard someone get so upset about changing a striker, you know, adding something to it, as they have about changing a personnel and pay system. So I kind of find it humorous, because we have a lot of non-AG people giving us a lot of advice. And what I want to challenge, you know, our community is, let's shock the heck out of them. And so we need you all in it. I mean, for those of you that play video games, I've never heard someone complain about Call of Duty's too hard and I can't figure out what the X and the O, and which they can, you can do 20 different buttons on a remote control to play, but we're asking you to learn how to do, what's the background meaning behind a pay transaction? Because you're going to press one button, but you need to understand it's doing these five things behind the scenes. We have the capacity. We have the capability. We just need to have the commitment.
To your point, I mean, I think it's like, you know, so I'm willing to jump in and play video games with my kids, right? Just because that's how I'm trying to bond with them, right? Stay close with them and that kind of thing. And in this case, I mean, you're just saying, hey, if you're in the HR Corps, you really need to like rally around the flag here and let's get after it and do the best we can pushing this thing forward, because it's our modernization. This is our modernization, and help us push this thing forward. You know, we're going to do pretty good, and we're going to do good things for the Army, even if it's right, not 100% perfect. It's going to be better than where we're at.
Absolutely. And honestly, I mean, that's what I tell my folks. I don't care if you unplug some things and it's only 80% good right now. I'm okay with that, because then I know I only have 20% to go.
Yeah.
Rather than wondering. So the cool thing is, I mean, we're doing release 3 in December of 21. We're going to keep pushing forward. And so, you know, you kind of talked about what units can do now. And we talked about data and getting it right. So garbage in, garbage out. I would ask units and challenge my folks here. It's, if you've spent as much time on your birth month, you know, review of records, or your whenever you do your annual records review, which you're supposed to do anyways, to me, the litmus test is, if it were an SRP site and you're about to deploy and needing to make sure everything is correct, if something were to happen, take it that serious. And that is the level of accuracy we need in the system right now.
Yeah, that's a great point, ma'am. And, you know, I think we've dumbed down some of the stuff to what folks need to look at in priority order too, because we've done mm-hmm. some data correctness guides. So even to that point, there's 233 data elements we're bringing over from eMilpo that then go into IPSA. out of that 233, we just kind of prioritized it, you know, hey, here's the 10 items that are your number one priority. Here's the next 10 items. And kind of, you know, we passed that to units and it's like, so then you have, you know where to focus. To your point, it's about caring and the will, you know what I mean? It's like, if you have that will to do the right job, most of the time you will, you know, but then we're coming along trying to also just make it a little more, you know, easy to go after what's most important, what's next, you know, next important, what's last important kind of thing.
Yeah. And you talk about, you know, prioritizing stuff for the field and a will. You know, we've really challenged the will of the professionals that work here at, you know, Human Resources Command. And so, a lot of people see HRC as, hey, they're doing assignments, whether it's enlisted or officer. And behind the scenes, EP, OP, and the TAG directorate are really getting after this data accuracy and this mapping to a new system. And we've had to inspire some will. Because, I mean, think about some folks in this building, some of these great professionals have been doing their jobs for 20 plus years. And we're flipping the script on them. And so we're looking at what's that authoritative data source and why is it important? And what is the business processing map? You know, what does it look like as is right now? And then what is the picture? What does it look like in 2B for IPSA? And I know we owe you, the IPSA team, you know, more information on that, because that's how you're building some of your training for HRC and then eventually the field. So I think it's really cool how it takes, you know, really takes a village, you know, to get this modernization piece right.
Yeah, I mean, it does, right? Because, you know, I might have 50 smart people on my team, but that team is really kind of a cross-section of, you know, data analytics folks and computer guys and gals and then some AG and some finance folks. But they're not, you know, they're not sitting every day in HRC doing the hard business of, you know, OPEP type assignments. So I think that's a really good point. And then I think a lot of folks don't necessarily realize, though, you know, IPSA is coming online. It's not just putting a system online. I mean, we're actually doing work to redo the whole infrastructure of HR data in the Army. I mean, that's, I mean, people kind of look at me when I say that, ma'am. And I'm like, no, we actually are. We're really going after the whole thing. And you know, you guys are in the middle of it. I don't know, maybe you can talk a little bit about it.
Well, the funny thing is, the fact that I even know what a business processing map and a schema is right now, and data analytics is pretty amusing. But honestly, it gives me a great appreciation of the foundation and the infrastructure in order to really run the HR for our Army. Again, that's why I'm just amazed that we are where we're at. So I'm just amazed at what it takes to build it. And I think some people take that for granted because, you know, the infantry guy that gets a striker that understands a vehicle, he knows what an engine is and a chassis. But he doesn't understand how do you wire the blinkers or the lights. We just know we flip the switch. And what your team and, you know, my team behind the scenes are doing is really starting with a fresh set of wires and rewiring. And it's just amazing to watch. And I wanted to say, when you said I have data analytics folks here, I have AG folks, I think you were doing talent management before talent management was cool. Because I remember you reaching out on S1Net saying, I'm looking for this type of person, this skill set, and it didn't matter what their branch or their rank was. And I think without the flexibility, and why this is important, because it's going to be flexibility through release 4, you know, 2025 and beyond, that's going to keep us successful, both in the development and the usage of IPSA. Don't judge a book by its cover, and don't just assume that we're all going to play the same role when it comes to IPSA. And I just love the creativity. And without the critical thinking and creativity, we wouldn't be where we are right now with IPSA.
Well, I think I was lucky. I mean, you certainly were. You had a front row seeing our discussions with Jerome Conville, ma'am, right, on saying, hey, we need certain talent that's resident in the Army. And they're probably not, you know, a colonel. They're probably not necessarily even in the AG or the finance corps, right? These are folks that just understand data and systems and things. And he said, okay, go get them. And, so then we just started doing Facebook, you know, ads and, I mean, just all kinds of wild things. And what was amazing, ma'am, is that we found probably out of the first go round, maybe 200-ish folks that were interested, even after we told them, hey, this is kind of the problem set and it's very difficult and technically, it's hard. But then there's also this big change thing that we're trying to get, right? We got to more folks and change how people have been operating, which is sometimes even more harder than, you know, just doing a database tying with different systems and data. So we lucked out, but then, you know, I always like to tout a couple of folks. We had a couple of folks on the team that helped us vet people to make sure that they were real. And in no kidding, that was like an AG captain who has a, you know, just a wirehead. He's just a kid that loved computers and databases. His dad was a PhD at Berkeley. So, he had a family background in it, but he helped us get to know these are actually young men and women that know what they're talking about and know how to get the job done. And so, you know, we pulled them on and have gone after it.
Yeah. And I think the reason I kind of bring up the talent management piece, because we're talking about going from an industrial to an informational age Army and our weapon system being IPSA, but it ties to, you know, why do people stay? And, you know, as we're struggling through, you know, getting better about inclusion and diversity, I really think, you know, at the heart of organizations, you know, people want to be appreciated for their unique skills and they want to belong. And it's not the money, it's not the promotions. And I think you've really not only found that, but demonstrated it. I mean, we have some really cool people on both of our teams that if it was just straight Army or just straight branch, number one, you wouldn't get the full benefit of the talents they have to bring to this. And number two, may not have stayed within this institution.
Yeah, totally. And you know, my vantage point is, I think it's yours too, ma'am. I mean, that's kind of what the chief is driving us to in talent management. It's if you understand these KSBs of folks, these knowledge, skills, behaviors, talents, if you can match those in certain key areas to help the Army with big problems, you also can maybe help, you know, keep people in longer, you know, certain talent in longer, but then, you know, you just might get a little more efficient too. In some regards. So, you know, it's kind of neat to be in the middle of that, right? Being
right.
Allowed to operate that way. But let's, you know, if I can just circle this to even just the AG Corps. I mean, so candidly, I think this is a skill set. Like, how do you manage systems, data, analytics? That we honestly should grow a little better inside our core, because you know, this is not going to go away, right? This is kind of the future. And you talked about, you know, good enough and fast enough early on. I think we have to address that moving forward, not only in our curricula, but just kind of exposing people to this. Because it's just not going to go away. You know, I'd be interested in what you think.
Yeah, I think, you know, you were talking about pulling all the right people together. So, you know, when it comes to the mill pay fight, you know, yesterday I was talking to U.S. FEMCOM General Bennett. Today I talked to Mr. Davis at DFAS, and it's making sure that all the stakeholders are in on it. Well, internal to our core, you know, at the heart of our that stakeholder is the Soldier Support Institute. And so a conversation myself and some other AG leaders have had most recently is, I can't necessarily change whatever the 50-meter requirement is, but I can set conditions, you know, shaping operations for what does that AG officer, warrant officer, NCO look like 2028 and beyond. That's what we have to build right now. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, like tomorrow I'm doing MS Teams with DMPM, Brigadier General Doug Stitt. I've asked you to join us with our Commandant, Colonel Marcus Motley in the Soldier Support Institute, with our Chief Warrant Officer of the Corps, Chief Hickman, and his doctrine folks. And part of it is update on structure, where we're at, but more importantly, a discussion on where should we go and how do we build that next, that future HR leader. And I throw out 2028 and beyond because then that aligns with other things, you know, POM planning, we can get in front of things. It aligns with systems and structure that the operators are already looking at. And if we're not aligned with them, you know, we're not on the same boat.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of enterprise stuff we have to like line up, right, man? That, you know, to get to a certain spot that you want to go to, you got to do all that hard, you know, lining up. It's like with IPSA, we actually have to line up the enterprise data and systems, right, to interact, you know, together to actually make it, you know, the S1's job easier. I mean, there's all these different things at different levels we got to get done.
Right. And then it's being part of the holistic, like you said, Army plan. Say, for instance, you know, the Army and part of the talent management is looking at a different branching process. And so if you're doing talent-based branching and you change up whether or not someone does any type of detail work with another branch, you know, a branch detail, that's where we get a number of our officers. And that didn't happen, you know, this year. And so it's, if you're not going to get an overabundance, then you have to look at precision. Because we are more of a silo and then inverted pyramid when it comes to requirements.
Right. So if you're taking that vision for 2028 or beyond, you know, what's maybe some of your advice for, you know, folks that are a little younger that certainly are going to be around in 8 to 10 to 15 years on some of the skills that they maybe should key in on or think about as they're moving along?
Yeah, I think, you know, really, whether it's a lieutenant or a lieutenant colonel, I mean, my advice has always been it's competence, you know your business. I didn't say be an expert, because I think few and far between do we have pure experts, because there's so much, the scope, but know your business. What do I mean? I know all the systems. I know the capabilities. I might not be smart enough to do all the great queries or the quickest way to do it, but I know what it is and I know who to ask. With that competence and knowing our business, it's also always remaining a student of our profession. So it's not, and it's not just what the SSI provides or what an ILE or what a, you know, warrant officer advanced course. It is, you're a student of our profession, not only in the technical and tactical side of it, but what's important when it comes to modernization, why is it important? And then I think the other part, you know, I know you like the technical side, and I mean, I don't, you know, you're sporting a cool IPSA t-shirt. I have a mug. You know, that's really cool.
That's an impressive mug. And by the way, it says IPSA BG Ramsey.
Well, and you know who gave it to me?
Who did, man?
So the other thing I was going to say that is important, why I show the mug, is it's really relationships. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we focus a lot on you got to know the technical piece, but if it weren't for, we're an example, our relationships, relationship knowing each other for, you know, over a dozen years, your ability to go into the Pentagon, whether it's the chief of staff of the Army or it's, you know, the budgeting office, we don't get anywhere unless we can breach certain offices. And I would challenge a lieutenant to colonel right now that you can be competent, you can be confident, but if you don't have the relationship to back it up to finish the deal, it's really hard, you know, because this business, we say people first, and we are an army of people. And you can't remove the human dimension out of any one of these problem sets.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. I mean, in my last couple of years, right? It's being able to talk to folks that I've worked for in the past and saying, hey, I just need a little bit of help here. Normally the staff might stop things, and it's just being has helped. You know, it's really facilitated how I've been able to get some help for our team and your team to move things forward. I mean, it's been, I don't know, it's probably more important than me finding the data folks.
Yeah, but so to our folks in the core is, okay, why is competence and why is relationships important? Because of what you just said, if you weren't competent in your job, you didn't have that relationship, you wouldn't already have credibility in the bank. And so what we're asking is invest in IPSA, invest in getting data correctness, invest in attending webinars, invest in attending MilPay. Get our credit in the bank with your commanders now, and they will follow us once this opens and goes live.
Yeah. And what that means is you got to spend a little bit of time, right? You got to do a little bit of homework.
Absolutely.
Think a little bit about it. And then like you're saying, just invest in it. And I invest is, like, I think, really good word, man, because as I look at release three, and this has really come from a lesson learned in release two, it is a significant change. Like, you know, I can't underline that any more than, oh yeah, it's replacing EmailPo and a bunch of other systems. Yes, it is. But it also fundamentally changes how we do business. So you're going to have workflow. You're going to do an action. It's going into what we call an S1 pool. S1 pool then routes that workflow to where the approval is, right? And that could be, the approval could be you at the tag, right? The approval could be to the division commander. The approval could be, you know, easy one, to the battalion commander. But that's something that you got to learn and then manage, and then even access to the system. So the access to the system is controlled by the brigade. So we call that the validator, right? That's the name of the role in the system. But, you know, hey, so you're not really asking others to get into the system. You're managing that. But those are just two simple HR functions that an S1 will do that is, you know, it's different than the way that they do it today, let alone all the other stuff, right? Analytics and talent management marketplace. And I don't know. I'm excited about customer relations module, all that other geeky stuff, man, that we all, you know, AG folks, all of us like.
Absolutely. But, you know, we say about AG folks and, you know, part of getting credibility with your commander, because once they buy in, it really helps drive priorities, whether it's at the battalion, brigade, division level. We said that when the current marketplace for assignments came on and it started, everyone said, you know, from an HR perspective, this is overwhelming. Has anything stopped? And honestly, it's more positive feedback than negative. There's more transparency. And so you're going to now have a system that has more transparency, more capability, you know, as we continue to, whether it's release three, release 3X, release four, as we continue to add to it. And so, yeah, it's really exciting.
Yes, ma'am. And stuff like the mobile. So, you know, I was at TRADOC last week and, it, you know, talking to General Funk on a couple of topics, but one was mobile, right? You know, so he's so excited about mobile. He's like, you're giving soldiers the ability to get into this system off their personal mobile devices. You know, I'm like, heck yes, sir. I mean, this is awesome stuff. But the app is hosted on his TRADOC app store. So really we were there talking about, hey, sir, there's probably some things we can do to facilitate it, downloading and and we're working with your people. Again, this is an example of relationships too. And he's like, well, shoot, we'll do whatever we got to do. you know, because there's going to be probably 500,000 downloads of that app once everyone in the Army figures out that they're going to be doing their Lee form, right, yeah, in the system. And so, you know, hey, what better way to do it and track it than, you know, on your personal mobile device off some app?
And why wouldn't everyone want to be all in on IPSA? If you're going, I mean, how many people watching or listening are, they did banking on their app today. They paid for a coffee on their phone today. They checked their investments. That's why if you're not all in, then, you know, turn off every app on your phone. Because that's what we're going for. I mean, we are catching up. We are modernizing the way we care for, support, and provide information to soldiers. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. We think it's really cool, ma'am. I mean, it's when you see it in action, it is really cool, you know, and, you know, certain things that we've gotten from the Guard too. So as we went live, we just kept upgrading as we went, you know, so either there was a defect or in some cases we actually enhanced how the reporting was going and, you know, some kind of capability. But some of the feedback from the Guard was like, hey, this is kind of like Apple. It's upgrading all the time. And that's really one of the reasons why we went to, you know, this system, is so we can upgrade over time. So, you know, you'll get something in December 21, but we'll consistently upgrade the product even before release 4.
Yeah, and don't we do that with SIS? That's funny you say that, because I've heard some concerns about, well, you know, if there's errors in it. There are errors all the time in every single system we have. They just don't see it. And the cool thing with IPSA is, you know, what you're saying is, yeah, the errors are there, but we now have more of a flexibility and a more updated system in which to react to that.
Right. Right. All the time. You know, I mean, that's actually part of our connection, right, with HRC, is that we call it sustainment operations. But it's like as you go live, you know, data's flowing between our system and all the HRC systems. And then the team is really watching all that and then working errors as things happen. You know, so the infrastructure is there to do that. But, you know, for me, I just got a kick out of seeing the Guard too. Just, I mean, we're not Apple. I mean, we're just not. But for them to say, hey, this is like my, you know, my iOS on my iPhone, where, you know, every month it's updating to a new version.
Well, and I get think about new. It. Think about it. You took them really almost overnight from SIDPERS. What you and I, when we joined the Army, it was old then. Overnight from that to almost Apple-like. I mean, that's a huge leap.
It's pretty neat. You know, the other thing, you know, I think you'll hear the Guard says it's a change, right? You know, and part of the change, and this is, you know, I don't know, I think it's kind of serious. It's the audit piece. You know, it's like, before, if you're in your own database, you could probably do some things. Now that you're in a integrated system, you know, with roles and permissions, you can't do some of the things you might have done in the past when no one was looking. And not to say people were doing anything wrong, but, you know, they were just doing stuff to make things happen. You know, we have this whole audit trace for data, for, you know, approvals, all of that is now captured. So we know what's going on in the system. And then we, you know, you adhere to audit rules, et cetera. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we've morphed into the you know, the system that we have now.
Yeah, absolutely. And who wouldn't want the protection and the ability to audit who's been in your information, if they made a change and what is, you know, current about your file, you know, talking about being good enough and fast enough as we modernize, when a regulation says you, the tag, are responsible for, you know, accountability of data and the governance of it, and I know that a system's not auditable.
Ooh, yeah. That can be scary.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, every day is a good day because it might be my last day, right? I'm hoping we go all in. I make light of it, but I love our Army, love our Corps, love our business. But if you want to take care of soldiers, you want to take care of commanders, we need you all in.
Yeah, double down on that comment, ma'am, too. The easiest way, if folks are, you know, okay, so where do I start? If that's the question they have, I mean, we have a couple of different forums. We have a pretty hefty S1 net that has everything, right? Every document you ever wanted, but then even the social media videos and training and live sessions, all of that's posted on our S1 net site. You can get most of it too, just off of, you know, our social media too. So if you have, you know, everyone can get to YouTube on their personal devices, you know, just type in IPSA and you'll find the podcasts, you'll find the videos, you know, just about everything.
You guys make it really easy too. Like I said, the webinars, if you sign up, they'll even send you a calendar reminder. It's pretty cool.
That's right. So that's why we want you in there, ma'am. You know, as much as your, you know, free time will allow. So ma'am, let me ask maybe an off the wall question. I I'm a big reader. You made fun of me because I read stuff like Dune and some other things. I'm reading a couple of books by P.W. Singer, which is all about our modernization, right? So how does social media change the battlefield, right? Right. You know, I would say, hey, social media is even changing how we operate in the HR community. How do we use it as a recruiting and a retention tool, right? You know, we really got to think about that and analytics, whatnot. That shows my little techie geeky, you know, interest. What are you reading, ma'am?
Yeah. So, funny, 'cause I was thinking when you were saying that is my book interests, are a little bit, different than that, but I always have a couple going at the same time. And so, right now, almost done with Culture Wins, and really, I guess the bottom line is culture beats strategy every single day. And so Culture Wins by, I think it's William Vanderblumen, phenomenal book. And the reason I read that, I'm reading that right now, is because previous to that, I read The Advantage. And in The Advantage, it really talked about the health of the organization. And so you have to get, you know, success has everything to do with how healthy the organization is. And that's why I talk about the foundation of IPSA, you know, if it's healthy and we build it from there. And so The Advantage, separate from that. And I think it's important for those that, you know, I mentor and talk to is, you know, do something for yourself. And so separate from work, my non-geeky self, I belong to a book club. They're all non-military people and it's fiction and it gives me perspective, you know, and just truly appreciating different people's opinions, seeing that I can't necessarily understand their past, but I can listen to it and how we can influence the present. And so anyways, I just finished a discussion on Eleanor Oliphant is Just Fine. So that's my embarrassing, if you think it's embarrassing, admission. I didn't know IPSA was like a confession booth. I mean, IPSA podcast/confession.
We could ask a bunch of other fun questions too, ma'am. I mean, you know, part of this is, you know, for me, you just kind of highlighted that, like you talked about, like, so I'll tie this back to the AG Corps. Right. You said competence, but it's like, you know, I think reading and being aggressive in reading as a professional is part of that competence, you know, and it doesn't even always matter what you're reading. It's just like if you're broad, in your topics and getting fiction involved and having discussions with people, right? You're just getting the motor running, and it, you know, that helps with a lot of things. Like if you're able to connect with people, you know, that are talking about even just a book, right? That's going to spill over and help, you know, in our professional lives as we, you know, try to build those relationships with folks.
Yeah. And I tell you, you probably get it as much as I do. It's how do you make time? How do you have the time? And I've really thought about, I wasn't always good about it, but I really thought about it as of late, maybe the last few years, is you make time for the things you want to do. And there's enough time in every single day to get done what you need to get done. Not want to get done. There's enough time in every single day to get done what you need to get done. So my list is always, you know, tenfold of what I need to get done, just in case there's extra time. But I can decide to maybe not watch a 30-minute TV program and read or listen to a book. And so I make the time and I make the commitment. If you can't sleep, you know, I always have a book that I'm doing hardback, usually, or, you know, hard copy. And now I think I'm up to 30 on Audible. That was a big leap for me. I like turning the pages. I like holding the book, but I wanted to be more efficient with time.
Yeah.
And so now if I'm going to take a walk, even if I'm doing chores at the house on a Saturday, put my headphones on and I can listen to a book. And so I think you make time for what you want to do, which is why you have time to invest in IPSAE right now. And you can get done everything you need to get done in the day. You just have to be purposeful.
Ma'am, I think we're going to make like a social media post with that quote, you know, from you, you know, Jim Rampey says, yeah.
Call it. Can you call it? I'm trying to start a tag talk.
Tag talk. this could be a future podcast series, ma'am.
I don't know if Megan will let me, you know, Megan or Ashley will let that happen.
That's so awesome. You know, I was going to say, I get more time by just drinking red eyes, man. You know, if we drink more coffee, yeah, all of a sudden I end up with more time in the day. I don't know how that works, but it does.
I love coffee. I have no idea what a red eye is. I can't drink any energy drinks because, well, you know me. I can't imagine me drinking anything that would hype me up any more than coffee.
You're already there, ma'am, right? You don't need much more, you know, to get going, which is pretty awesome.
Well, thank you.
So, ma'am, I think we're probably at time for today's episode. I just want to really thank you for having the time and having a chat with me and talking a little bit about, you know, where we're going, right? With IPSAE, with HRC, with the core. I mean, this is all, I find it, you know, really cool just to have the discussion, but also I think it's good for folks to kind of hear your thoughts and kind of where we're going. So, you know, not everybody gets the chance to see you. And so, you know, having something out on our podcast is really helpful, I think.
Yeah, I, again, thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for what you and your team are doing. Pretty exciting to be on the forefront of change and modernization for the HR community. You know, I'd ask the listeners, have a little blind faith, jump in, commit to being more competent to this part and the future of our core, and make sure and, you know, retain those good relationships.
Awesome. Thanks for your time today, ma'am.
Tag talk out. Integrated, motivated, right soldier, right job, right on time. 24/7, 365.